I hope he's saved, Doug. I hope he's saved. I really do.
Well, you know, men die every day, and many of them go to hell.
That would be tragic. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyer, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
You're with the Lord. Hey, me too.
This should be TV. That way everyone could see me pointing up.
That's true,
we
Doug.
We need a webcam going or something.
Yeah. Now, we did a funeral on Sunday
right.
at Denver Bible Church, and we had a glorious time. But on New Year's Day, we heard about somebody who died New Year's Eve.
Right.
And that guy, I don't know that he was saved.
Well, all indications would be that he was not.
He was not. In fact, he had a nickname among the pro-lifers in Colorado. His name is Larry Johnson, right?
Larry Johnson, who is in the neighborhood, one of the neighborhoods where we visit faithfully on the holidays.
On the holidays. One of the whites, we go to abortionist houses.
And abortion collaborators.
And collaborators. The like whites the, company, yeah. billion-dollar construction company. They built Planned Parenthood here in Denver.
Yes.
50,000-square-foot mega child-killing complex.
The largest abortion mill in the country, as far as we know.
Yeah, and
we were in the neighborhood. The nice neighborhood, by the way.
Yeah, Bill Hornaday's neighborhood.
Yeah, he's the president, CEO.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice neighborhood. Well, his neighbor across the street.
Off of University between Orchard and Bellevue.
Yeah, the Cherry Hills area.
Green Oak.
Yeah, nice area.
Yeah, and Larry the Liar died. A woman came out very angry. She pulled up, parked, very angry, and she said, "Do you know a man here died last night?"
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, they built an abortion clinic where thousands of kids are killed right here in Denver.
Yeah.
Children die, a dozen children die every day.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
We're here because people are dying.
Right. Kids are being killed. They're being dismembered by Planned Parenthood. And it's because of this guy here, Bill Hornaday. He built the Child Killing Center. And Larry the Liar, he went to court to testify against one of our dear friends.
That's right. He was an adamant defender. Of the abortion collaborator and a nemesis
yeah.
of the collaborators project and the holiday home visits.
And now he died, and unless he's trusted Jesus Christ and repented,
yeah.
one example that he's wicked is that he advocated killing children, dismembering them in their mother's womb. That's pretty evil.
If someone advocates something like that, it's hard to believe that they've developed a relationship with their creator.
With their creator God. He probably wouldn't want to kill a bug. He'd probably pick up a spider and put it outside,
mm-hmm.
but go ahead and crush the child's skull in his mother's womb.
But he was vehemently against disrupting the peace in his neighborhood.
Yeah.
Over the fact that his neighbor built basically Auschwitz East.
Yeah. And the company name is Weitz, the Weitz
right.
Company. And so the place is called Auschwitz.
That's what it's called, Auschwitz. That's what it'll go down in history as Auschwitz.
Planned Parenthood, Auschwitz. Yeah. And so, yeah, we disturbed the peace, no child killing with tranquility. And also, remember on Christmas Day, there's a video on YouTube.
Oh, yeah?
ARTL members, American Right to Life members, Christmas abortionist home protest.
Oh, yeah, the caroling.
Singing Christmas carols.
Yes.
Maybe we should play that.
That was
one of these days.
That was delightful. So now, Larry the Liar. Why did he earn that moniker, particularly as a liar?
Because he went to court against one of the dearest pro-life brothers in the country, Ron Brock.
Oh yeah, I know Ron.
Gentle, wonderful man. He drives a truth truck.
Right.
His website is what? TruthTruckUSA.com.
TruthTruckUSA.com.
Great website. And I interviewed Ron Brock, and Doug, it was such a compelling interview, and I have to make a confession. I think that is one of the few interviews we've done that we never got it online. It's still not online to this day, and it's one of our best interviews ever.
Okay, well, in honor of Larry the Liar's death, I think we need to put the Ron Brock interview online.
And we could put an update, a post-show update, that Larry the Liar has died.
So am I to assume that Larry was less than truthful in his testimony against Ron Brock?
Well, he was a lawyer.
Okay, well, there you go.
But that's not why that was sufficient reason to call him Larry the Liar.
And another reason to doubt that he entered into the eternal grace of his creator.
That's right. Jesus said these lawyers will bind heavy burdens on men's backs and will not help them with a finger to relieve the burden. Mm. Doesn't that sound like lawyers?
Sounds like a lawyer to me.
Larry the Lawyer?
So Larry the Lying Lawyer has passed from the scene.
Larry the Lying Lawyer has left.
I wonder if Judgment Day has already occurred for him or if he's waiting
for
Judgment.
Well, all roads lead to God.
That's true.
As Savior or as Judge.
So all those agnostics who say that all the spokes in the wheel lead to God, they're right in one,
they're right.
In one respect.
All paths lead to God.
Right.
Either as your Savior or your Judge.
Oh, good. I'm going to use that the next time one of these enlightened agnostics says that they follow the spokes of the wheel theory.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell them, you know, you're almost right.
Yeah.
Hey, that's good.
They're headed to the center of all.
So Larry met his creator.
Yeah.
He met the living God of the universe.
He actually may be right now in hell.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting to meet his creator on Judgment Day.
That can't be a comfortable situation.
That's got to be bad.
That cannot be comfortable.
But, you know, C.S. Lewis wrote a great book about that called The Great Divorce.
Right.
What a fabulous book, The Great Divorce. One of his best books ever. And he points out that people in hell, if they had the opportunity to get on a bus and go to heaven for the day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day in heaven, everybody gets back on the bus if they want to return to hell.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis says they'd all get back on the bus.
Mm. Well, I mean, you can imagine Larry showing up in heaven and seeing the likes of Ron Brock there.
Or Ken Scott.
Or Ken Scott.
Or Doug McBurney.
Any number of... He'd want to go right back to hell.
He'd want to go back to hell.
Yeah.
Well. And, or, not to compare us with him, but, or Jesus Christ... Seeing Jesus Christ and humbling yourself before him, that he is our creator God and we owe him our allegiance, our obedience, our worship, that's what people reject. That's why they get mad when you mention Jesus. Hmm. They don't care when you mention Buddha.
I've never offended anyone with the mention of Buddha.
Liberals don't even get mad when you mention Muhammad.
No, they don't.
And Muhammad, what's he out there doing? Dicing up homosexuals.
That's right.
Not letting women learn how to read.
Yeah.
Flogging kids who fly kites and own parakeets.
That's right.
I mean, that's Muhammad for you.
But he doesn't offend the liberals.
They couldn't care less.
No.
They just have this intuitive sense that he's an idol. He's a false god.
Right.
And so they don't mind him because he's sending people to hell where they want to go. Mm. They just get upset with Jesus Christ.
They don't like him in particular.
They don't like him. So Larry the Liar has gone to meet his maker.
Yeah. And so that was New Year's Day and Christmas Day. We took a brief respite from gathering signatures for the personhood effort to do our faithful home visit.
Yeah.
Of the abortionists and their
collaborators. For 20 years now, 20 years we've been going to the homes of abortionists.
Yeah, so if a young medical student is considering
Have us come visit them on Christmas morning.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to have people in front of your home on Christmas morning.
Start killing kids.
Every Christmas morning for the foreseeable future.
Doug, there's a group in Indianapolis. They are trying to compete with the Denver pro-life community for the best holiday home visits. And so now we have a video on YouTube of the Christmas caroling at the abortionist house.
We'll have to see if they can top that out.
Reed Goodman. They're going to have a hard time topping that. But that was only 22 people Christmas caroling.
Yeah.
I think they had 30 people at their last home visit.
Is that right?
30 people.
In Indiana.
Yeah.
And that's outstanding.
But they're going to have to go a long way to top our Super Bowl party we had at Gary Megason's house. With the Weitz Corporation.
Yeah, there was a barbecue and everything in the
Auschwitz. Home. Barbecue, brats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? We're listening to the game. Reporters were there.
Right.
Great interviews, snowball fights, foot races, slippery.
And all the time making the child killers uncomfortable and ratcheting up the social tension in the community.
Yeah.
While having a generally
good
time.
So, Doug, Larry the Liar is now in hell.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there was a deathbed conversion, which is possible, but it's not likely.
Not likely, but possible.
And yeah. As Christians, we don't have to go around afraid to speak because maybe in the last second somebody repented.
No.
That's some kind of make-believe, silly, self-righteous, puffed-up thing.
Yeah.
But like Judas is in hell right now.
Judas is in hell.
Yeah, and Saul is in hell right now. And there's all kinds of people in God's word who hated God, like Herod. God killed him.
Yeah, we don't have to wonder if Herod may have repented on his deathbed, and then prevent us from rendering any judgment on Herod.
As worms were eating his intestines,
he suddenly had
painful and rapid infliction from God. Did he repent silently?
Doubtful.
Doubtful, and it doesn't matter.
No.
It's not as though we cannot use him as an example to warn others.
Right. We want people to be able to identify wickedness, and Herod is a great example.
Yeah, Herod.
And Larry the Liar is a pretty good example.
Larry the Liar is a very good example.
Yeah.
And so, but Larry the Liar is in hell right now waiting for Judgment Day, which will be horrific for him. It's not going to get better.
No.
Right?
Not going to be pleasant.
Could you imagine all the evolutionists in the world if on Judgment Day, all the experts?
Yeah.
Richard Dawkins is there.
Michael Shermer.
All these guys, William Provine. William Provine, the professor.
Eugenie Scott.
They're all lined up, and they're all waiting to address the throne all together as a group.
Yeah.
And they're going to prove that they've done their research, and they're ready to address any issue to say that they were reasonable to believe in evolution.
Right.
And in fact, that's probably the way God did it regardless, because they have all the proof, they know it.
Right.
And so they anoint a speaker, a spokesman for the whole group. They pick, who would they pick?
The guy with the British accent. Dawkins.
How about Darwin?
Okay, Darwin.
Charles Darwin. He doesn't have to be alive right now.
Right, that's okay.
So they pick Charles Darwin to represent the whole group.
All right.
And they've got the whole, and they have a few tractor trailer loads full of textbooks and research and charts and graphs and geological columns and fossils. They got it all.
Yeah.
And so they're ready to make their case to God. And the Lord begins by saying, okay, for starters, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And Darwin looks at the whole group and they shrug their shoulders and says, well, we don't know. And the God says, to hell with you. And they all go to hell. And that's it. For all their degrees and PhDs and MSs and MAs, they don't even know what came first, the chicken or the egg, because it's unponderable. Is that a word?
It's
imponderable what possibly could have come first, the chicken or the egg. And they're done. It's over.
That'll be interesting.
But
to
Larry the Liar, maybe he'll get to see that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So, but then we had a funeral at Denver Bible Church. There were 350 people there.
A young lady who we know was saved.
Our dear,
knew the Lord.
Dear sister in the Lord, Megan.
Right.
And a great supporter of personhood.
Yeah.
And the God-given right to life of the unborn. And with her family, her husband, Monty, and their daughters, they were members of Denver Bible Church. And what a tragedy that she passed away. She fought cancer for 3 years.
Yeah.
And Doug, we addressed in the funeral service, which we had on Sunday morning at our church.
Right.
In Arvada at 72nd and Oak at Maranatha Christian Center. We started out by saying we are going to address the questions that many people are wondering. Like, why did this happen to Megan?
Yeah.
And where is she right now? And what evidence do we have? What reason do we have to believe where she is right now?
Right.
And it was a neat opportunity to speak to so many, many who love the Lord, many who were agnostic or don't know. It was a great opportunity.
Wow.
Really great. And one of the things we pointed out, people think, in fact, one church came as Megan was dying. Literally, it was a death watch over a period of a few months leading into weeks and days.
Right.
In the living room, as so often happens in a hospital bed. And a pastor of a church came and said, you know, there's unconfessed sin here somewhere. There's sin. And the husband got angry.
Well, good for him.
He got angry, and he dealt with it, and he dealt with it appropriately. I mean, that is just so cruel and wicked, and it's so superstitious.
Yeah.
As though Christians will not die unless they have unconfessed sin. You'll live forever, you know,
yeah, right.
in this earth. Well, Jesus was asked, and we did this in the funeral service. Jesus was asked, why was this man born blind? Was it for his sin or his parents' sin? That's the same stupid question that this pastor was asking Megan
yeah.
and her family. Why do you have this cancer? What hidden sin is there? And the Lord answered, neither. They said, whose sin is this blindness a result of, this man's or his parents? And the Lord answered, neither.
Amen.
And then he healed. Just imagine if God makes some kid terribly ill and then heals him to say, see how cool I am? See how powerful I am?
Yeah.
Look, I could make this child suffer for 10 years and so I could heal him. And then everybody will say, wow, look at that. That's twisted. That's demented.
No, that doesn't sound like a God of righteousness that holds the whole universe together.
Yeah, not a good God, not a loving God. It would sound like a Stalin or something.
An egomaniacal.
An agent provocateur who burns down the place in order to tell you who the arsonist is.
Right, right.
It's just bogus. So it was a fun time.
Well,
it was a good time.
It's awesome to, death is the elephant in the room. That people spend their whole life avoiding talking about the elephant in the room. But when a funeral comes around, it's a tremendous opportunity to witness to people and really get through to people.
Yeah. You know, animals are not afraid of a dead body. You know how dead bodies freak out human beings?
Yeah.
Even soldiers will come upon unexpectedly on a dead body and they'll jump.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah, there's a classic called King Solomon's Mines, and these guys are going through Africa. They're hardened soldiers, heroes, and they're sleeping in a cave. And in the morning, it gets light, and they look and they see they've been sleeping next to a dead body.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of them get up and run out of the cave. They're afraid of the corpse.
Yeah, why is that?
Why? It's because it's bringing us as close as we can get to the afterlife.
Yeah.
And it's something that we know is there. But it's mysterious, and we're a bit afraid of it.
Yeah, and we've spent our whole life avoiding the topic, specifically avoiding it.
Right, but animals, they just step right over another dead animal.
Yeah, give them a sniff and move on.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
we're not animals.
Not all of us.
No, not all of us.
Ron Paul's an animal.
Ron Paul, by the way, Bob,
bringing
to Ron Paul, there was an article this morning, over the weekend, now, we talked about Ron Paul last Friday.
Yeah, we did.
And
we slammed Ron
you
Paul.
You had some derogatory statements to
say about slammed him, but what a stupid thing he's done and said.
Well, there was an article on WorldNet Daily by none other than Alan Keyes.
Alan Keyes?
Good friend of the show, good friend of personhood.
Yeah.
And Alan Keyes is confirming your conclusion from last Friday.
All right, Alan.
Yeah, he says that, you all remember, Ron Paul said that the Yemeni terrorist.
Yemeni?
Yeah, Yemeni?
No, Yemeni is fine, but public school Yemeni. Teachers tuning in right now, they don't know
minute.
What that is. It sounds like a flavor.
Wait a minute. He's not Yemeni. He's Nigerian, but he was trained in Yemen.
He sounds like a flavor, like a juju beads flavor.
Like a Ben and Jerry's
Yemeni.
Flavor. Yemeni.
Right.
Anyway, he was trained as a terrorist in Yemen. He's a Nigerian.
Right.
And Ron Paul, for some reason, said, well, they're terrorists because we're occupiers. And
we were mocking that and saying, first of all, it's wicked and evil to say that.
Right.
To blame the victims for terrorism committed against them. Secondly, we said, what are we occupying? We're not occupying Nigeria.
Well, that's what Alan Keyes points out, that there is no current occupation in Yemen nor in Nigeria.
That's right.
And basically, he confirms your assertion last week that Ron Paul is an idiot. And not only does Alan Keyes confirm it, but he also quotes Ben Stein in the article as
Ben Stein.
That Ron Paul is an idiot.
That Ron Paul is an idiot. And Ron Paul is the one who says that the states should decide whether or not you can kill Jews, lynch blacks, and abort babies.
Right.
The states should decide.
Thinks it's a states' rights issue.
Because he thinks rights come from the state, not from God. Therefore, if a state says you can kill kids, Ron Paul says, I wash my hands. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. So now we have, Bob, we have you, We have Ron Paul's own words. We have Alan Keyes. We have Ben Stein. Isn't there a verse in the Bible, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing
a matter is established.
A matter is established.
That's it.
So I think the
Ron
case
Paul's
is
an idiot.
The case is closed on Ron Paul.
Ron Paul is an idiot,
he
officially.
He is an idiot.
You know what Ron Paul's legacy is? Doug, Pro-Life Profiles is soon to publish. You know, their last big profile they published was...
Palin.
Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Well, the Ron Paul profile is about to be published, and it's pretty hard-hitting. And at the very end, there's a summary, and it sums up his legacy. And his legacy is pretty horrific. I wouldn't want to be Ron Paul on Judgment
Day.
Well,
you know, I know an awful lot of Ron Paul supporters.
Yeah.
Now, I know a number of them that have 35-year-old Subarus and a lot of stickers, and, you know, I know right. That type.
Yeah.
But then there are also the normal type, Ron Paul supporters.
Yeah.
And they're generally pro-life.
Yeah.
And they generally think
Ron Paul is pro-life. They think he's pro-life. And Ron Paul has said, look, to kill a child in the womb is murder.
Yes.
He said, I can't see the difference between killing the child a minute before birth and a minute after birth. It's murder. But
that's good that he says that.
Yeah.
That's good.
But it makes it worse because he said the states should decide
whether or not to murder an
innocent
person.
So the states can regulate things like how large to make the street signs.
Right, right.
They can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the states could prosecute kidnapping and rape, but
right.
the states cannot decriminalize rape. No state, no country... No nation in the world has the authority to decriminalize rape. That is an act of war.
Wow.
And if a country decriminalized, let's say, killing Christians, that's an act of war. If a country decriminalized killing Americans who happen to be there, that's an act of war. No state has the right to say you can lynch blacks here in our state.
You know, I wonder if anyone has put that train of logic to Mr. Paul. To try to maybe tease out his thinking
well,
on the matter.
Well, a Bob and Yurt Live listener got through to a Ron Paul interview conducted by the founder of YouTube.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and we have the transcript of that, and it was pretty good. And he said, Mr. Paul, by saying that abortion is a state's rights issue, it sounds like you're saying it's not a matter of absolute right and wrong. And then Ron Paul hemmed and hawed for 90 seconds in his interview.
He would have had to hem and haw.
Because is it a matter of absolute right and wrong? Is it murder or not? And so here's the legacy of Ron Paul. This is, and tell me if this is not already in place.
Okay, now we've established he's an idiot. So now let's go on to the legacy.
Here's his legacy.
Okay.
Ron Paul's legacy is already here with us. When politicians run for mayor... And they are asked about children being dismembered in the womb.
Yeah.
They reply, the running for mayor, they reply that abortion is not a matter of city statute.
That's
what they say.
Mm-hmm. That's convenient.
When politicians run for governor, they say abortion is a federal issue. That's what they say.
Yeah.
When they run for president, they say abortion is a state issue. They passed the buck.
So the buck's been passed in a circular, and nobody's really
No one is responsible.
So,
Ron Paul is teaching a generation of politicians how to pass the buck regarding human rights and the slaughter of children.
Wow.
That's his legacy.
So we're already living with the
We're living with the Paul legacy.
Man.
And believe me, John McCain learned this quick.
Oh, yeah.
John McCain has picked it up. George W. Bush picked it up. Sarah Palin has picked it up, Doug.
Yep.
She's on this bandwagon. It's not my job.
It's not my job. It's
As governor, she said the people should decide. When she's running for president, she says the state should decide. Anyone but me. Personally, I wouldn't kill a black person personally. But if you ask me if lynching should be outlawed, I think the people should decide.
Or the states.
Or it's a state's rights issue.
Man.
That's where Sarah Palin is.
That's sad. Well, now I want to, before we're running out of time, and I want to encourage people, we're down to some 5 weeks left in the personhood signature.
In Colorado to get back on the ballot.
Right, to get back on the ballot.
100,000 signatures
and
we
need. And we've been told by certain people, even within our own, within the pro-life ranks, that maybe this isn't the right time, maybe this isn't the right strategy. Can I read you something off of the National Organization for Women's website?
All right, these are the bad guys.
These are the bad guys. This is one of the baddest of the bad girls.
Now.
Kim Gandy.
Kim Gandy.
Former president of NOW. She writes on National Organization for Women's website, she says, reversing Roe is only one of several parallel long-term strategies of the anti-abortion movement. And one of their strategies involves establishing that fetuses, even fertilized eggs, are persons under the protection of the U.S. Constitution.
Mm.
She says, not sure why establishing fetal personhood would be so important to our opponents.
She's asking. You don't know why this would be important?
She says, take a look at the Roe v. Wade decision language. She then quotes Blackmun saying
Harry Blackmun, the Republican who wrote Roe v. Wade.
She quotes him as saying, if personhood is established, the case for legalized abortion
collapses.
So she says, in other words, if opponents can convince the Supreme Court that times have changed since Roe v. Wade and that fetuses should now be recognized as a person, then abortion would immediately become an act of murder in every state across the country. And no ballot measure, no court case, no vote will be able to keep abortion legal in this country. That's the former president of the National
Organization. NOW.
She seems to be quite perturbed by the personhood movement.
They're going to start seeing National Right to Life as just a... just an irritant,
not
and the personhood
worth.
Movement as the threat to their child-killing industry.
Personhood is the real threat.
Personhood
to
is the
culture
threat.
Of death.
It is.
Yes. So we need to redouble our efforts. Yeah. I will be calling and visiting on churches this week to try to get churches to circulate the petition specifically for Sanctity of Life Sunday coming up on January 17th. If you or your pastor or your church don't already have something planned for Sanctity of Life Sunday, call Colorado Right to Life, get a petition, circulate the petition in your church on Sanctity of Life Sunday.
Yeah, and then we have here at Bob and Your Live, we're a resource. If your pastor, if you go to your pastor and he just says, we're pro-life, but we don't want to do it, call Bob and you're live. Give us his name and phone number, and we'll call your pastor.
Yes.
And we'll call. I'll call personally, kindly, graciously, and we'll try to present to him the excitement that what started here in 2008 is now in 40 states, a bona fide nationwide movement.
Yeah.
Personhood legislation, amendments, personhood committees and groups putting forward that the government has to recognize that God made a child, he has a right to life.
Amen. The most significant social movement of any of our lifetimes is taking place right now.
Right now, right here, way bigger than the Tea Parties, way bigger than Obama, way bigger than health care reform.
Bigger than civil rights.
Bigger than civil
bigger
rights.
Bigger than
this
freeing
is fundamental.
The slaves.
Bigger.
Bigger.
Bigger. The greatest Holocaust in the history
That's
of the
right.
world. Right now, and here in America, it's a Christian fight, and when we win this fight, Christianity will have central stage to influence our culture and the world once again.
Amen.
When we win this fight and protect kids.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Doug McBurney. Call us for a petition, 303-463-7789, 1-800-8-NYAR. We'll help you out with that. We'll get you to Colorado Right to Life. Our phone number, 800-8-NYAR, Maranatha. God bless you.